Hi, I'm W2P Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only Little Steven, Steven Van Sant, who's going to be performing at the Rock and Roll for Children Benefit Concert on March 18th at the Fillmore. Mr. Van Sant, thanks so much for calling in.
How you doing, Jason?
We're good. So obviously this thing's going to be raising money for the Children's in NAH. They do it every year and get, you know, these great rockers to come in and donate their time and music. Why is this such a great cause? Why'd you want to get involved?
Well, it's just these things are you can't do enough, you know, for kids, and this is one of the best in the country. And it's very unusual, you know. They take special care, and you know, it's run very well. So, you know, this is friends of mine have been doing it for years, and they're very happy with everybody. So, you know, they got me involved, and very happy to be involved.
Awesome. Yeah, we talked to, Eddie the Kingfish yesterday, who's going to be with you, too. So you'll have all the guys out there. It's going to be great. I hear, don't they also do some sort of, like, memorabilia auction, too? Do you know anything about that?
You know, they might do that. I really don't know about that side of it. No.
Okay.
There usually is something like that, though. Yeah.
Right. Well, all right. Well, tell me about the music side then. What sort of stuff can we expect to hear? Is it Disciples of Soul songs?
Well, I think we're gonna do a preview of a new album. I just recorded a new album, and it's not gonna be out for a little while. But this will be the first preview of it. You know, this will be the first time people are gonna be hearing it, and. So that's, you know, that's really quite something special, I think. The album is basically me covering me. I'm doing songs that I've written for other people, and it's really the first time I've ever done that. 12 songs, basically on the album, and we'll be doing most of it that night. Some things will be familiar to people. Some of the things I've written for Southside Johnny, for instance, or Gary U.S. Barnes, and Jimmy Barnes in Australia, groups in Europe, like the Breakers and the Cocktail Flippers. Various things that I've written for other people. And a couple of covers that I didn't write. I put one blues thing on the record, which I never really recorded a blues song. By the time we got into the recording studio, you know, we had kind of been through a blues period and had gotten into original songs. So this is the first blues song I've ever recorded, which was a lot of fun. I also have a James Brown song on there that I arranged. So mostly me covering me, and a couple of other covers as well. And this will be the debut performance for all that for whoever's there.
Awesome. Yeah, see, the kids and the philanthropists get to hear it first. That's what I'm talking about. You're covering yourself. If anyone can cover you, it's hopefully you. when does that album actually come out? And do you have a title for it yet?
Well, you know, these days it's a different world now, you know, than it used to be. I mean, we used to deliver these things, and then it would be out like a month or two later. Now we got to wait just 4 months just for the vinyl, you know, just to get vinyl, because there's vinyls get more and more popular, and there's not as many pressing plants as there used to be, you know.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wait. So we're probably looking at, realistically, we're probably looking at it around September as a release. But there'll be singles put out like every 6 weeks. We just put out the first single the other day on St. Valentine's Day, which is a song called St. Valentine's Day. And so that was the first track just a couple of weeks ago.
Awesome.
And then, we'll put out a track every 6 weeks. So there'll be three or four tracks released before the album comes out. And I'm going to be touring before that. I'll probably do a European tour somewhere around June. And then come back to America when the album comes out, somewhere around September. That's the plan at the moment anyway.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm so glad that Little Steven Disciples of Soul are back together. In case our listeners forgot, you guys had this group back in like the 80s, right? But then you did all your E Street stuff, and then you reformed the band back, what was it, last year? Take me into that.
Yeah, well, it Disciples of Soul has always been the name I use for a live band. But it's been a different band really, almost every album, you know. So okay. Some guys come and go, you know. Eddie Mannion might be the only one that's been there pretty consistently. But the guys change. You know, they're interchangeable from album to album, tour to tour. You know, this is a bit of a rebirth, though. This is a bit of a, you know, I haven't visited the artist, you know, formerly known as Little Steven, for a long time, you know. it's been probably, I don't know, 15, 20 years since I toured or played, or, you know, put out something of my own. So this is a bit of a rebirth, and it's going to be, I'm going to keep it together. I'm going to continue to, you know, be touring and putting out records again and getting back into the business, but time not by leaving E Street Band. We're gonna stay in E Street Band, and you know Bruce will probably tour every other year or so. And then when he's when the E Street Band's not touring, I will, you know. So it'll be that kind of a thing where we alternate, you know, between the band and solo projects. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of back and forth. Well, it's you definitely, even if Little Steven's, you know, it's been years since you've been officially, you know, touring under that moniker. I mean, you're definitely not rusty. You guys are, you and Bruce, man, how do you guys put on those four-hour shows? I think I saw you at Nats Park, and it was like 4 hour plus. Like, that's, how do you do that endurance? It's insane.
Yeah, it's it's pretty nutty. I agree with you. But I don't know, you know what I mean? He's just he's a little crazy, you know. And he's our leader, so you try and keep up, man. That's all you can do. And he's very inspiring. I mean, he's in such great shape, we've never lost our enthusiasm. The truth of the matter is, you know, we go on stage. The same way we were on stage when we were 16 years old, or 26, or 36. We go on stage fully intending to do, you know, the best show anyone's ever seen. You know, the best show we can do, and we've never really lost that. You know, we never really started taking it for granted or taking the fans for granted. None of that. You know, so it's a very, it's a great relationship we had through the years with our audience, and it's wonderful. So, you know, and now it's time for me to rebuild a little bit of my relationship with my audience. I mean, I will not be doing 4 hour shows. I'm going to tell you that right now. this is going to be obviously a different thing, but it's, you know, it's wonderful to have both things going. You can express yourself on the one hand, and then do the E Street Band thing, which has become such an institution now, and such a relationship with the audience. Nothing quite like it. You know, we go out there and very spontaneous, a different show every night with the E Street Band, and we'll take requests from the audience. And you know, it's a wonderful relationship that's been there for so many years, and. And now it's time for me to rebuild, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So. You mentioned how, you know, it's a different show every night and you take requests from the audience. I can't remember what the song was, but there was like a viral video going around, like I'd say a week or two ago, where it was a song you guys never tried before and it takes you a little while to get it down, but then you nail it. Do you remember which one I'm talking about?
Well,
I can't remember the song. Yeah.
That sounds like, you know, honestly, it's like, yeah, that's like a normal routine for us.
Oh, it's just great how you guys can adapt to whatever they throw out in the audience. I'll look it up and I'm gonna embed that video in the in this article tomorrow because it was incredible. Awesome. Definitely. Well, right. Thanks so much for joining. Before you go, I have to ask you about Silvio. Is he in The Sopranos? Is he still in the coma or what? You're one of the few that we think survived.
He's definitely still breathing. Don't worry about that.
Just take me memories of that show real quick, because I know you're a big gangster movie buff yourself with Godfather. I mean, I know you're huge on that, but just what's it like to be not only in one of the greatest rock bands ever with E Street, but in arguably the greatest television show of all time?
Well, it was just, you know, it was just sort of a circumstance, and I found myself acting for the first time in what would end up such a great show, and what a acting class to go to, you know, what a way to learn the craft. I mean, it was incredible with those fantastic actors, and I learned as I went. You know, got better, a little better every day, and the fascinating way to what a gift to be given a new craft at this point in my life, you know. And I was really able to take everything I learned there and use it on Lilyhammer, which I did for 3 seasons in Norway for Netflix, you know, their very first original programming. And it was really fun to be able to take what I'd learned and then, you know, use it as a go from just, you know, being one of the regulars on the show to actually starring in the show and producing it and co-writing it. And I even directed the final episode of Lilyhammer. So
great.
It was it was a wonderful 10-year trip, counting the seven seasons on Sopranos and 3 with Lilyhammer. And now, you know, I'm still I love TV, so I'm gonna be, you know, I was just in LA yesterday, meeting new agents, and we're gonna, you know, get a new TV show going. So I'll be doing that in between the music stuff.
Yeah. When you're directing the final episode of Lilyhammer, are you thinking of that final Sopranos episode? What is your take? Is Tony dead? I think he's done, because it goes back and forth between shot, reaction shot, and we're in his POV when it goes dark. So I think he's done. But do you ride the fence on that, or is it like mum's the word on set?
What was Sopranos, you mean?
Yeah, is Tony whacked at the end? I think it goes dark in his POV. No, you don't think?
Well, hold on one second. Hold on. There was a great article. I think it was in Vanity Fair some years ago, where they went and interviewed all of the actors from Sopranos, and I think that article ends with me talking about that final scene. And, you know, everybody always asked, how did it end? How did it end? I said, okay, I'm going to tell you, this is the definitive version of how it ended, okay? I said to them, are you ready? They said, yeah. I said, okay. The director yelled cut, and the actors went home. That's how it ended.
Let's keep the mystery alive. That's the beauty of it, baby. All right, well, bring it back to the rock and roll. You know, just final question. You know, if our listeners have heard this, they, you know, they've seen you on TV, they've heard your music, you know, why should they come out to this event?
This event is extremely extremely important to support the NIH, you know, National Institute of Health, and the Rock and Roll for Children, what they're doing. It's just something really special and very, very worth supporting. And that alone, you know, is good enough reason to come. Like I said, we're going to get a debut of most of my new album. And, we always put on a good show. The band's going to be terrific. There's going to be great music all night long, not just my part of it, but it's going to be an entertaining show for a very good cause. What's better than that, right?
Exactly. You summed it up perfectly. Mr. Van Sant, Little Steven, thanks so much for joining us. It's an honor. We'll see you out at the show.
Yeah, all right, man. You got it.
All right, take it easy. Stephen Van Zandt on WTOP.
Thank you.